that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6 there, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. You got to get that. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, a lot of people talk about faith, right? Everybody's got faith in something, right? We say, oh, I got faith in this and I got faith in that. But the Bible talks specifically about having faith in him. And if we don't have faith in him, we're not pleasing him. And so the title here, the thought here today is the faith that ignites commitment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we are grateful again to be in your house, Lord. And grateful that we live in a free country, that we can open your word and we can preach your word and we can study your word and we can talk about your word. And Lord, we're just so thankful for that. Lord, I do pray now that you meet with us here, Lord, in a special way. I pray, Lord, you fill me with your spirit. I pray you use me here today. Use these scriptures to speak to our hearts here today. And Lord, and help us not to leave the same way that we came in. Lord, help a faith in our life to ignite some commitment in our life, Lord. Some commitment to be sold out to you here today, Lord. And we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, many people, even many people in church, they don't think it matters where you attend church or if you attend church. But we know that that's a lie of the devil. The devil has deceived many people and many denominations and many false churches out there today. The devil has also deceived many people on the many different perversions of the Bible that are out there. And the devil is doing one thing. He's trying to confuse people. Right? He's confused people with the Bible situation. He's confused people with all the many different churches on every street corner, keeping people confused. And if you're confused, you're lost and you're dying lost and you're going to hell. But now people say they're willing to follow any God as long as it's easy. Hey, as long as I don't have to change anything in my life, I'm willing to follow that God. Hey, as long as I don't have to change anything that I believe in, I'll follow that God. But don't expect me to change. What does your church believe in? If it's different than what I already believe in, then I'm not going to come to your church. You see, my point is this. Many people have made up in their minds who they think God is. They've made up in their mind a false God based on their perceptions of God, and it has nothing to do with the God of the Bible. But let me tell you, the Bible says even so, that believing that God exists is only the beginning. You see, the devils believe there is a God and they tremble, but they don't trust in Him for salvation. God wants more from us than an acknowledgement of His existence. He desires a personal relationship with each one of us. And that, my friend, only comes through one place, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, when we talk about faith, a few things. Faith is not a feeling. Okay? It's not a feeling-based thing. Faith is the very foundation of our relationship with the Lord. And the word faith is used in the King James Bible in 234 verses. Faith is extremely important in the Bible. It is extremely important to God. But we say, what is faith? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the Bible here gives us a definition of faith. It's always easy. It makes your life so much easier when the Bible actually gives you the definition. In verse 1, he gives us the definition. He says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith, then, is much like the wind. It's much like the wind. We do not see it, But we know it's there because we can see the results. We can see the results, especially if a storm comes through or a tornado comes through, a big gust of wind comes through and knocks down trees or houses or damages things. We can see the results of that. Without that substance, without that evidence, we have nothing to go on, but faith has both of those. Okay? And we read on in verse 6, he says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Hey, whatever you're trying to do to please God, if you're doing it apart from having faith, you're doing it for no good, for no reason. There's no point in attempting to please God unless you're doing it through faith. If what we're attempting to do contains no faith, then it's not going to bring any glory to the Lord. It's not going to bring any honor to Him. Those challenges, like we talked about Job this morning, those storms, those trials, those tribulations that come into our life are brought into our life to grow us. Right? God wants to grow us through those, and He allows these into our life to deepen, to stretch our faith. But how we react to those trials is the ultimate goal of what is that faith going to look like? What is that outcome going to look like? We know Job trusted the Lord. He and all that, he did not sin. He trusted the Lord. Okay, but what for you and I, what does that look like? Are we allowing those trials and those storms in our life to grow our faith and draw us closer to Him and give Him the glory? You say, well, why is faith so important? Well, faith is important because faith is what gives us a victory. Faith is the victory. It will overcome the world. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We need to hear the Word of God every day. We need to be reading it, studying it, hearing the preaching of the Word of God every day. Why? Because that's where faith comes from. You get that? That's where faith comes from. You can go in this world and you can say, "I put my faith in this and I have faith in that." But those things are going to crumble. Those things are going to lead you down a dead end, a roadblock. But faith in the Lord, faith in the Word of God is what we need to have here today. The disciples said they needed their faith increased. In Luke 17:5, they said, "Lord, increase our faith." Now, that's a prayer. That's a prayer, isn't it? If we were to actually pray that prayer, "Lord, increase our faith," what would that look like? You think the Lord would take us up on that? Hey, would He bring some challenges into our life? But you know what? We'd grow closer to the Lord. You know what? We'd grow more spiritual, right? The outcome would be more spiritual in our lives if we allowed it to be. And so what I'm looking here today is just the faith that ignites commitment. So I want to talk to you about some things, and then I got a lot of verses, but I want to talk to you first of all on some things that doesn't necessarily require faith, okay? There are a lot of things in the Christian faith that really do not require faith at all. And number one is this: it doesn't take faith to tithe. It doesn't take faith to tithe. If you turn over to Malachi chapter number 3, now, like I said, I got a lot of verses, so stay with me throughout this message here. In Malachi chapter 3, look there at verse 10. It's a familiar scripture. You probably already know it, but I want you to see here, and we're going to look here, that it doesn't take faith to tithe. In Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, the Bible says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." You see, the Bible commands the Christian to tithe. He says there, he says to bring. He didn't say, "Will you bring?" Or it's a suggestion that you bring. He says, "You need to bring." It's a command. It doesn't take faith to do what the Bible has commanded us to do. What does it take? Obedience. Obedience, right? That's all it takes. It takes obedience, commitment to follow the Lord, to follow the Word of God, and act upon His Word. Now, if you would, turn over to Genesis chapter 14. Right? Some people might say, oh, the tithing it has to do with the law. Well, tithing was actually before the law. All right, and so here in Genesis chapter number 14, I want you to look here in verse 18 through 20. In Genesis chapter 14, in verse 18 says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." And look here in verse 20. "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all." This is the first time we're talking about tithes here. Tithes means a tenth, and it is mentioned in the Bible right here for the first time. It means one tenth, and God commands people, His people, to give a 10% of their increase, a 10% of their income. And as we see here, that tithing was a practice well before the law. This was given well before the law of Moses was given. And it's talked about in the earliest times in Genesis chapter 14, of all places. You could go to Genesis chapter 28. We're not going to right now. But you'll see there that Jacob tithed as well. And so that argument that tithing was meant for people under the law is incorrect. But now flip over to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 27. Right, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 27. So what exactly is the tithe? If a tithe is 10% of your income or your increase, let's look here a little bit more about the tithe. I want you to see who does the tithe belong to. Okay? In Leviticus chapter 27, look at verse number 30. And Leviticus 27:30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, get this, is the Lord's." You get that? It is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The tithe, point being, belongs to the Lord. And so if we keep our tithe, keep His tithe, who are we robbing? We rob God. Right? We rob God. Tithing is an expression of our honor toward God. It is showing that we honor Him, that we believe His Word, that we trust in Him. Right? If you turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Right? We're getting to the New Testament. Don't you worry. Hang on. All right? Proverbs chapter 3 tells us here in verses 9 and 10 that we're to show honor to the Lord. And part of honoring Him is then through our tithes and offerings. Proverbs chapter 3 in verses 9 to 10 says here, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Right? We're to honor the Lord. But like he said way back in Malachi 3:10, he says, "See, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." And he says he's going to, there's blessings to be had, but that's not why we tithe. Right? We tithe because it belongs to the Lord. And when we tithe, we show that we're honoring the Lord. Right? We're acknowledging everything we have comes from the Lord. You understand that? Everything that we have is because of Him. You say, well, I'm a strong man and I work hard. Well, God gave you that ability to do that. He gave you the ability to be strong and work hard. It comes from God. And so now we'll turn over to the New Testament. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we'll look here at this verses 1 and 2. And I remember when I first got in the church and recently saved, and first in an independent Baptist church and in the military, and talking about tithing, I'm saying, there's no way I could tithe. You know, what is 10% of nothing still means nothing, right? You know, but he said, try me, right? And so, I was slow to go on that, like I mentioned the other day. You know, I had a boat fund. I had a retirement fund. I had a plan, all right? And now here I am, you're saying I got to give 10% of my plan back to the church? How am I going to do that? I can't do that. But you know what? I just tried it. Tried it, you know, and And all of a sudden, I tried it and I tried it, and you know, and the Lord began blessing, and He did more with my 90% than I could do with my 100%. It was just amazing how that worked out, and you know, and I understand when you start talking with people's pocketbooks, right now you're getting deep, right? But hey, but the Lord says, hey, you're robbing God. You're robbing God. Okay, it's a serious thing here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1 and 2, He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, okay? As I have given order of the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon, get this, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so you see here, when is the offering to be received? The first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. Sunday is what? The Lord's Day, right? So we can see we're to bring our offerings in. And who is to give here? Everyone. Everyone. Every one of us is to be given here. And He says, how is the offering to be given? By laying up in store. Laying up in store. So what I take that as is how many people get the paycheck? Say we get a $1,000 paycheck and we're like, all right, I know what I'm going to go buy. Right? And so we go buy that new washer and dryer. We go buy this and we go buy that. And before you know it, you're broke and you have no money. Right? And so you have no money to give to the Lord. Right? And so Sunday comes and you're to lay up treasure to the church and the tithe to the Lord, but there's nothing there. Right? And so what we need to do is a thing called budget. We plan. We take that 10% out first. Give it to the Lord first. Right? That way there's no issues. The Lord gets His first. A tithe means just that. So He says here, how often or why are we to give? Because the Lord has prospered us. Because the Lord has blessed us. Everything we have comes from the Lord. And if we don't lay that money aside, this flesh, this human nature that we are, we're going to spend it. Right? If you would, flip over to 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And look here at verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Right? We're to be a cheerful giver. We are to give as an act of God. We are to commit 10% of our income to the church. And here's another thing. Support the local church. I know a lot of people that they support the internet preachers, right? Don't be doing that. We're to support our local New Testament church. The money goes right here. Hey, we support missionaries that go all over the world, right? And so when you support your local church, who supports missionaries all around the world, hey, that's reaching all around the world. So we just need to give. We need to trust God. Like I mentioned earlier, hey, you just need to trust God. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Just step out on faith. Step out on faith. It doesn't necessarily take a great deal of faith to tithe. It just takes obedience. But step out. Step out. Trust the Lord is what I'm saying. Hey, and we also do faith missions program here. That's how we support our faith, our missions program, right? So how that works is we pray and seek the Lord's face and see what would He have me to give to faith missions this year? And so we pray and God gives you an amount and then that's the amount you give in abundance to the tithe, right? That's not part of the tithe. That is over and above the tithe. But hey, point number one is it doesn't necessarily take faith to tithe. All right, number two here, we got to move on. It doesn't take faith to attend church. It doesn't take faith to attend church. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter number 31 and look at verse number 12. Deuteronomy chapter 31, look there in verse number 12. Looking here at it, it doesn't take faith to attend church. Deuteronomy 31, 12 says, gather the people together. Hey, kind of sounds like go ye into all the world, right? Gather the people together, men and women and children and stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. Where are you going to learn to do all those things? In the church, right? Through the preaching, through the teaching of the Word of God. You know, through fellowship, you're going to learn the fear of the Lord. You're going to learn to observe, to do all the words of this law. Now, here's the thing. Many people say, oh, I love God, but they don't go to church. Is that a thing? Can you love God and not want to go to church? Let me ask you this. Hey, though, if you don't want to go to church, do you really want to go to heaven? Like, if church is no fun, then why do you think heaven's going to be any fun for you? You're probably not going to enjoy heaven because there's going to be a lot more singing than what we do here. Right? There's going to be a whole lot more worshiping and a whole lot more praising the Lord. It's going to be continuously going on and on and on. I'm just saying, do you really want to go to heaven? You see, being faithful to church is just a command. God commands us to do it. If you turn over to Hebrews chapter number 10, I'll show you here in verses 24 and 25. Imagine there's a bride who says she loves her groom, but she didn't show up for the wedding. She doesn't show up for the anniversary. She doesn't show up for anything special. Does she really love her bride? Remember, the church is what? The bride of Christ. So if we say we really love Jesus, why would we not be faithful to His house? If we truly love the Lord, why would we not be faithful to His house? And you know these verses here. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, right? Not missing church, right? When the church assembles, we all assemble. Right. Remember the early church in Acts, they assembled every day. They were in the temple every day. They were worshiping the Lord every day. And you read through the book of Acts and look at the power of God they had on their life. They literally turned the world upside down. But hey, here in 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? Hey, the rapture could happen right now. Yeah. Hey, the rapture could happen right now. We could be standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ this very next moment. As we see that day approaching, it could be today. Hey, we need to come together. We need to exhort one another. We need to encourage one another. This whole world will beat you down, right? Having a civilian job will beat you down. Right. This devil will try to beat us down. And what better place to come together than with the brethren? Right. The brethren, we can come together and fellowship and exhort one another. Coming together is basically it's just a command of God. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Over there in Acts chapter 2 in verse 46 is where I found that. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Hey, they gathered daily. Hey, turn over to Luke chapter 4. The early church, they didn't treat the church as a optional thing. Okay? They were steadfast, unmovable. And they knew that there was persecution going on all around them. People were literally being stoned, put to death. Many of the disciples, you know, the early Christians, many of them had seen Jesus crucified on the cross. Right? It's there. But here in Luke chapter number 4, I want you to see this here in verse 16. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, and he came to Nazareth, Jesus, where he had been brought up. And get this here. And as his custom was, underline that. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. You see, Jesus was faithful. It was his custom. He was accustomed to going. He was accustomed to go into the temple. Hey, are we accustomed to going to church? Right? When I got saved, after I got saved, you know, and the Lord got into a good church, and the Lord dealt with us on Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, and if the Lord dealt with us on that, you know, from that point on, my kids never had to ask me, hey, are we going to church tonight? Hey, are we going to church tomorrow? Tomorrow's Sunday, are we going to church? That was never a question, right? You know, we might be laid up in the bed sick, but that's not a question. We're still going to church, right? Unless you're dead, then you don't have to worry about an excuse, right? If you're in the hospital, you can't get out of the hospital, hey, then you don't have to worry about an excuse. But other than that, you should be in church. Why? Because God commands you to be in church. It's just part of His commandment. You know, I know I talk about this a lot, but it's serious. And if you pick it up, we can move on. Amen? You get what they're putting down, we'll move on. Gladly move on. But hey, faithfulness to church will build our faith. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Preaching the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God preached. Hey, it convicts our heart. The Holy Spirit will use that. He will convict our heart of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And that's what we need when we go out into the world or we witness to somebody. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We can't do it in the flesh. We need that Holy Spirit of God using that verses to convict that heart, to convict that lost person that, hey, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Hey, if you die without Jesus Christ, you will lift up your eyes in hell and be in torment in Luke chapter 16. The Bible tells us that. There is heaven or hell in Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's coming. Every single one of us one day will go off out into eternity. We will take our last breath here today. We don't know when that is. But we all have an alarm clock on our head, an invisible alarm clock. And when that goes off, that's it. We go off into eternity. But the thing is where will you spend eternity? I ask each one of you here today, where will you spend eternity? The choice is yours. There's nothing you can do to get there. All my righteousness is as filthy rags, right? I've sinned. I've come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you received Him as your Savior? Have you trusted Jesus Christ alone for salvation? Because you see that cross behind me? Jesus paid it all on that cross. He died on that cross. They took Him down and they buried Him in a tomb because you don't bury people who are alive, proving that He was dead. 3 days later, He came out of that tomb very much alive, very much conquered sin, very much conquered the grave, very much freely paved the way for all mankind to get back to God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you have to make that decision. In John 1:12, the Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You have to make that conscious decision. I was 38 years old when I did. You all were different ages. But here's the thing. You remember that day. You remember that day that Holy Spirit convicted you that your sin was going to lead you to a place of eternal torment. And for me, I knew I was going to go and bust that gates of hell wide open, and I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to go there, and I knew in my head that Jesus died for me. But I had to receive Him as my personal Savior. And it was at 38 years old that I made that happen by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you, hey, if today is your last day, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? The choice is yours. I got another one here I want to give you. Number three, I want you to see here that it does not take faith to win souls. It doesn't take faith to win souls. It just takes obedience. Obedience. Jesus Christ came in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, to seek and to save that which was lost. So turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and look there at verse 19. The Bible says here, go ye therefore Right? There's that word go. You can underline that word go. Right? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What am I to teach? The gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Salvation. It's only through Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, seeing them saved. Preach the gospel, seeing the people saved, and then here, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Right? You see, that's what we're to do. We're to go. Turn over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, look there at verse 15. Mark 16, 15. Again, these are familiar verses. You're familiar with these verses. You know these verses. But I want to put them before your eye gates. Right? You've got to see it through the eye gates to take it in here. In Mark 16, 15, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go." There's that word go again. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Right? That's the command. We're to go and we're to preach the gospel to every person. Okay? We're moving on here. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 14. And look there at verse 23. Another familiar verse that I've talked about from up here at the podium. Luke chapter 14 and verse 23. The Bible says here, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Again, we're to go. Right? We're to go. Okay? You get this. Go. Turn over to John chapter 20. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 20. Look at verse 21. And there are many other verses we could look at, but these are just the ones that I have for us today. John chapter 20. Look at verse 21. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you." And get this here. "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I." What's that next word? You. That's all of us. Meaning go. We're to go. It doesn't take faith to win souls. We just got to go. Right? Turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, look there in verse number 8. Again, familiar verse here. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." Get that. "Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Hey, you're to go. We're to be a witness, right? The Great Commission, Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission. That's for every born-again Christian, right? We are to go out into the world. We are to preach the gospel. We are to see souls saved. That is for everybody, not just the preacher or the preacher's wives or the deacon's wives or the ushers. No, that's for all saved people, right? And you say, why? Why do I need to do that? Well, because life is short. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You see, life is short, and we know the keys to get to heaven. We know the path to get to heaven. We know the ways to get to heaven. And somebody had to share that with you and I. Somebody had to share that way with you and I. And so the Great Commission is left here in 2025 to be up to us. Get this as well. We are not responsible for those in 1925. We're not responsible for those in 2125. We're responsible for those right here today. We're responsible for those right here in our Jerusalem, right here in Macon, Georgia. Right. And we can reach the whole world through missionaries. But we as a Gilead Baptist Church are responsible to reach the lost right here. And Jesus said in John 9:4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." There's coming a day when you don't have to win souls. There's coming a day when we don't have to preach the gospel. I say have to, we get to. Right? It's not that we have to, we get to. It is a privilege to be able to lead somebody to the Lord. Hey, if you've not led somebody in the look to the Lord, or if it's been a while, hey, I encourage you you need to do it, right? You need to do it. And when you do it once, you're going to want to do it again. And when you do it again, you're going to want to do it again and again, right? Why? Because we know that there's a hell. And we know that there's people dropping off in the hell every single day. Every single day. But my point is this, it doesn't take faith to do a lot of things in the Christian faith, right? It doesn't take faith to tithe. It doesn't take faith to come to church. It doesn't take faith to win souls. Hey, it doesn't take faith to read your Bible. It doesn't take faith to sing in the choir. Preacher, we don't have a choir. Well, let's start a choir, right? Let's start a choir. What's saying we can't? Let's start a choir, right? That doesn't take faith. Hey, it doesn't take faith to paint the wall or to fix something around the church. It doesn't take faith to wash the bus or drive the bus or mow the grass or clean the grounds. None of those take faith. But what it does take is this. It takes commitment. It takes commitment. Are you committed? Are any of us committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question. And so my last point is this. It takes faith to commit yourself to the Lord. It takes faith to commit yourself to the Lord. Psalm 37:5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Turn over there to Psalm. I want to show you something here. I want you to see this. Psalm 37 in verse number 5. Now we go through life and we say, yeah, I've given Jesus my life. I've given Him my all. Or we say things like, yeah, I trust Him. Yeah, I have faith in Him. There's more to it than that. Okay? There's more to it than that. And I want you to see here in Psalm 37 in verse number 5. The Bible says this. In Psalm 37:5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. That's the first thing we got to do. The first thing we got to do is commit our ways. Lord, I give you my life. Lord, I give you my life to use how you want. Lord, I give you my life to choose my spouse. Lord, I give you my life to choose where I'm going to live. Lord, I give you my life to decide what job and what it is you want me to do in this world, right? Commit, whatever that way is, I'm committing my way unto the Lord. Not my ways, but thy ways, Lord. And then he says this. Then he says, trust also in him. So it's two parts. It's not just doing one thing. We have to commit our ways to him, and then we can't take it back. You see, too many of us, we say, I commit, but then we take it back. Right? When life gets tough like with Job, right, we take it back. We recant on that statement. He says, commit, but then also trust. And when we trust, we lay it all on the altar of sacrifice. We don't take it back. When things get hard, we don't come back and pick up our sacrifice and go somewhere else. We commit every single way of our life, everything that comes each day, we commit to Him, and then we trust Him. That's going to take faith, isn't it? That's going to take faith. And I had a whole list of areas that we could commit ourselves to. Let me just give you a couple here before we close. Number one I had here. So what do I need to commit? Okay. Number one, we would commit your heart to loving the Lord. We would commit our heart to loving the Lord. In Matthew chapter 22 in verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Is that your stance? Is that your position? Is that where you stand? Is that your commitment to the Lord? Is that your commitment to the Lord that we love Him, you love Him, I love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind? That is commitment. Hey, also committing your time to the Lord. Ephesians 5:15 says this, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, this is one we could probably park on and do just a message on this. on the amount of time that Christians waste on things other than reading their Bible, things other than praying, right? We get on our phone and we're quick to spend hours and hours searching the web and searching the internet and researching this and researching that. And before you know it, you've racked up hours and you haven't read the Bible. But commitment, we need to commit our time to the Lord, all of our time, right? All of our time. Prioritize time in the day for Bible study, for reading the Bible. Get up early. I got to go to work at 6. Well, get up a little early, read the Bible first. That way, when that devil throws those fiery darts at you, you've got some of the Word of God ready to fight back on it. Hey, make devotions a daily habit in your life. Use time wisely, drawing closer to God than pursuing worldly things. Right? What about committing your mind to the Lord? Commit your mind to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. Hey, it's just reasonable to come to church. Hey, it's just reasonable to go soul winning. Hey, it's just reasonable to read my Bible. Hey, it's just reasonable to pray. Hey, it's just reasonable to fellowship. Hey, it's just reasonable to play the piano. Hey, it's just reasonable to lead music. Hey, it's just reasonable. Everything is just reasonable. Why? Because I don't have to spend 1 second in the torments of hell. He paid it all for me. And so when I say, hey, are we committed? There's things that it doesn't take faith to do in the Christian life. But there are things, if we really want to light that fire, if we really want to get close to God, there are some things that we can commit right here tonight to start loving the Lord with all of our heart. We can commit our time to serve Him and do the things that He wants to do through us and in us. And we can commit our lives, our souls, our minds, whatever the case might be, and just look at it like it's just reasonable service. It is all just reasonable service to serve the Lord. So where are you at here today? Commitment. True commitment means surrendering everything to God and trusting Him completely. Maybe some of us here tonight, we've struggled with commitment, but today's the new day. His mercies are new every day. Right? We can make that commitment today that we want to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ right here today. We can come to Him and say, Lord, I commit my life to You as the Christian. Well, maybe you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior. You can do that here today. You can commit and you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He promises you He'll save you. He promises He'll give you eternal life. He promises you'll never have to spend 1 second in those torments of hell. But hey, commitment, right? Faith that ignites commitment. Are you committed? Let's pray.